you set the precedent for your day. For many years now, as has been my daily habit, I do my best to give God my first words every day, before I speak to anyone else. It is my idea of giving Him my first fruits. I'm sure you get it. Jesus is the first person I speak to when I wake up, whether it's the middle of the night or first thing in the morning. I make sure Jesus gets the, here it is, preeminence of recognition, or first fruits upon waking up.
Preeminence of recognition.
He is the first person I ask for help, my first source of information, and so on. God gives us bread in the morning, Exodus 16:8. We exercise prayer in the morning, Psalm 5:3. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, Psalm 59:3. Friends, the Lord makes us a provision, if we'll have it. Secondly, I present myself to the Lord first thing. Be ready to go. Exodus 34:2. Be ready by morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. Do you see it? Present yourself. It was a call to a direct, personal, and relational encounter with God in the morning. I figure if Moses could present himself to the Lord first thing, I should also, so I do. You should know I don't do these things always in that order, but I do try and accomplish these simple things in honor of the Lord every day. In honor of the Lord is the point. Always and absolutely none of these things I do is about being a sequence to make God come down. That's useless. It's my idea about my efforts to give God the preeminence of recognition and glory which only belongs to Him. The third thing I do concerning setting the precedent of the day, I also take communion, declaring devotion to the Lord first thing. It's a simple thing, and we don't have to tightly close our eyes as if we're in pain and move our mouths in some silent, pensive focus. It's not hard, and neither should we make it hard. Some would ask,
"Why do you do that?"
Yes, I have been asked that. To eat the bread is to participate in the body of Christ that was given on the cross and is now enthroned in glory. To drink the cup is to participate in the blood of Christ that ratified the new covenant and now cleanses, gives buoyancy and resilience to, and seals us as God's own.
We are His.
We are His. This is not magic, nor is it a trivial memorial of something from long ago. It is a Holy Spirit-fashioned communion with the entirety of Christ as a whole, crucified, risen, ascended, and present. Friends, that's a big deal. Honestly, all of this is easy to do, so I see no reason to not, other than a heart full of don't want to sometimes. So, where is prayer in this? Consistent and repeatedly, every day I talk to the Lord and walk. Yes, walk. It is a personal and relational conversation, just like two friends walking and talking together. Yes, as in Luke 24:13-35, walking and talking together. Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that together part includes our daily walk around conversation with God. So there we've got three things, yes, four. Giving God the preeminence of recognition, presenting myself before the Lord, thereby setting the precedent of the day, then declaring devotion with communion, and lastly, prayer. Spend time cultivating your everyday walk-around conversation. Tell Him all of what's on your heart and keep pursuing the Lord and read your Bible. We often say we're devoted to Jesus, but does our life reflect that? Yes, we must choose. So there's my habit as a devotion, and here is the challenge. I love the role of conversation that happens when I meet people, but they always seem to want to meet early in the morning. Now, hear this, I'm not objecting here, but I started noticing that if I meet someone for conversation and coffee on Monday, and a different person early on Tuesday, then another early on Wednesday, and a Bible study very early on Thursday, skipping my personal devotion, after a while, week in and week out, I started noticing an odd feeling of being spiritually out of breath, literally becoming breathless to spend time with God, who is my source of all goodness, wisdom, righteousness, strength, and hope. Breathless after God. Breathless after God. As an example, if we don't read our Bible, it makes hearing God a real challenge. Similarly, if we don't spend time with God one-on-one, walking and talking together, but instead settling for a quick run down my prayer list and calling it koinonia, which is participation, communion, and fellowship with God, my life with the Lord starts to lose its luster and high shine, which I cherish above all things. I easily keep the first part of preeminence of recognition, presenting, and communion. But the prayer time is lost in my not keeping my full devotion. Over time, being in a hurry and for lack of prayer, I started noticing my spiritual vision was muddled sometimes. I began to feel out of sorts more and more often. Little by little, I began to feel like a boat, once tightly tethered to the dock, but had somehow gotten loose from what kept it steady to now floating away. Little by little, over time, there it was. My panting after the Lord in breathless pursuit was even fainting for lack of pursuit. It was horrible. Breathless after God. Psalm 143:6. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. The word thirst represents a desperate reaching toward God, literally to breathe after God. When David was in the wilderness, he wrote in Psalm 63:1, You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. In those two verses, there is expressed a spiritual longing as a physical necessity, breathing after, panting after, thirsting after, emphatically pointing out the fact that true satisfaction comes only from God. There is no lasting, true satisfaction outside of Christ. Well, you may not believe it altogether, or maybe you're still struggling to even believe Jesus is alive, real, and listening, and present. But my hard-won wisdom is that my first priority is Jesus, and my last priority is Jesus. To say I am breathless after God is my way of expressing an intense longing, panting, or yearning for God's presence, similar to when we breathe heavily like someone desperate for air or water. I needed to rework my priorities. Visiting with members of the body is indeed important, but the bottom line answer, I say, more important than anything is Jesus, every time consistent and repeatable. To say we breathe after the Lord is like saying breathless after God. Though not a direct scripture quote, it has the same theme as in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. It's important to know that deer have a survival tactic of when being pursued by predators. They often run to water where its scent and tracks are lost in the water and it finds safety. So the writer is saying, I'm breathless after you, O God. I breathe after you, for you alone are my sustenance, my hope and salvation, and there is not another. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. What are your priorities? Is Jesus the first and last of your day, every day, or is he like a,
when I get around to it, I've got important stuff to do?
What is more important than Jesus? Be honest. I'm not saying disregard life. Come on. We all have important things to do. But more so, I'm posing we look at our heart posture, and are we actually pursuing the Lord as if he really does have the preeminence in our lives, like we say we do? Jesus, every time consistent and repeatable. I'm Social Porter for Living in His Name Ministries.